Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and we are very happy here today to have our good friend Christian Castain back after a grueling national championship for him. I'd first like to say condolences to you, Chris. Georgia lost and lost hard. I know we aren't planning on talking about this for long, but any major takeaways from that game?
Nick Saban's the greatest coach of all time. College football.
Better than Belichick,
football,
though.
I mean,
I'd take Belichick over Saban, I think.
In college football?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. I mean, if he can do it at the NFL, why can't he do it in college?
I think I would still call, as of right now, since we've seen it from Saban, he has the most championships of all time. And what he did at halftime, that was so gutsy to take Jalen Hurts out. I was impressed he did it. I'm surprised because I thought the game was over when he did it. But then again, I thought about it, I was like, then again, it's probably not over because he'll make a couple plays, and that's what he did. Nick Saban's the MVP of that game, and I cannot announce that quarterback's name. I don't even have it in front of me.
Tua. That's all I know.
Yeah, I know it's Tua. I don't know what the last name is. But anyway, I think he – if it wasn't Nick Saban, he was the MVP because he saved the game. I was impressed. Congrats to Alabama. They won the game. Georgia lost it. They played conservative in the second half. It happens. It is what it is. Like I said, congrats, Alabama.
All right. Let's move on to really our – I'm not going to say – I don't know where I'm going. I'm a little bit sick if it doesn't show through in my voice to the listeners or the fact that I will occasionally cough during this episode.
That's not okay.
So, no – Not hiding that there, but no days off. We got to grind through. Just two things that happened. John Gruden got hired as a Raiders head coach, which I think is outrageous.
John Gruden. Really John Gruden, he, that is. The last name. It's just,
yeah. I did say John Gruden,
no,
right?
You said John. You said John. I was just making sure,
John Gruden.
Make sure people knew it was John Gruden. It wasn't nobody else.
Oh, I thought I said Gruden. Nah. All right, well, John Gruden. No, our good friend John Butler has gone to coach for Raiders.
I was just making sure.
But
clear.
No, he'd sleep through the interview. But in all seriousness, John Gruden got hired as the Raiders head coach. Matt Nagy, I believe, or Nagy, one of the two, got hired
Nagy
as the Bears head coach. In Chicago, right?
Yeah,
in Chicago.
Yeah, Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Nagy, actually.
Oh,
we ought to do some research on that. I don't think anyone's sure, but I think we'll have to ask our good friend John Butler, who, by the way, congrats to John Butler. He, unfortunately, sadness for us, he's left PSF. Not necessarily left the End Zone Pod family, though. Next off season, when we do a Bears preview, I'm sure I'll get him back in here. But John is now writing for a White Sox website that I can't name.
Sixth man rotation.
And I'm now realizing this is bad. Sixthmanrotation.com. So there's your free plug, John. Go check him out. He's doing a fantasy baseball podcast. Baseball is his first true love, and I know nothing about baseball. But I'm trying to beat our good friend Brian Willis in a fantasy baseball league for quite a sum of money. So
a whopping
$10. Definitely
checking
out
right?
That podcast. That's a chunk of change for a poor college kid like me. And, I mean, goodbye to John, but not goodbye. Because only good things happen from here. All right. Let's get into these games, right? That was,
that was
weird.
A little
I'm
different.
Not sure
that
I like
was
that.
A little different, I will say that, than what we're used to doing. But it a bit okay.
Oh. This is where I was heading. John's team is the Chicago Bears. What do you think about the Nagy hiring?
Honestly, I'm going to do this one question instead of talking about both. I don't think Nagy's going to have, or Nagy, what, however you pronounce it. I don't think he's going to have as much success as John Gruden. I know John talked about what he did.
I don't buy into John Gruden.
Well, me and John were talking about the other day and on Twitter, and we were talking about what he did as a Kansas City Chief. He called plays five games, and I hold on a second. Granted, that was 30. Their offense averaged 30 points. I'm in a freaking around a world.
But hold on. I'm not ready to pause quite yet. Are you good? What's going on your end? All right.
Don't pause. Yeah, I just need to restart.
Pause it. Keep it going.
But back to Nagy. Me and John were talking about this the other day.
Is your recording still going?
During his five-game stint as calling offensive plays, he called for Andy Reid. They averaged 30 points, but that's such a such a short stint as a calling plays that I haven't seen enough. I'm not confident. The reason I would say I'm more confident in John Gruden going anywhere is because we've seen him do it before. And granted, you can say it was under other people's staff. Other people recruited these players, whatever. But still, I think John Gruden will have more success in the long run. I think Nagy will end up being one of those coaches that ends up winning like 10 games in three seasons, maybe 15. I see him being that another coach that's not like John Fox, but his success rate won't be very high, I don't think. It's just when people coach in Chicago, they just haven't done well, and I just don't see that trend changing with a coach that I just haven't seen enough in. I think they just went up and grabbed the first coach they saw, and we all know they really didn't, but it feels like that. So I think it'll be a failure.
I think Nagy has a lot of the same traits that McVay does, and the Bears saw they were in a similar situation, and they got the young hot guy. I don't think he succeeds automatically his first year, but I think that you putting 15 wins on the Bears in five games, I'd definitely take the over and put heavy money that the Bears will win more than 15 games in the next 3 years. Yeah, I think that this year, probably five, six games is their max. But I think if you give a coach long enough and you build a roster around that team, as they are doing, they're set to pursue some big free agent wide receiver names this offseason. They're probably going to draft a wideout. I wouldn't be shocked if they won seven games next year, and I wouldn't be shocked if they won like 10 or 12 games the next. I think that you can't look that far. I see what you mean. He won't be an instant success, but no, like yeah, you but can't just predict off of what 3 years in the past into the NFL. And, like that's or just recent impossible. Past.
John Fox failure. Okay.
What have we seen in the past, though? Okay, recent past. Let's hold on. But those are two different guys, two defensive-minded guys.
They did a good job.
What happened when we saw a young offensive coach go to a team that was awful last?
Yeah.
Right. There's not a big enough sample size to automatically say he's going to be a failure. I mean, I'm not saying he'll be a great success.
It might be unfair, but that's the way I feel. That's the way I feel, though, because
this guy who's
I just haven't seen the sample size that's large enough, and I just don't think
like you got to give him a chance.
Well, Trubisky's one of the first things they've hit on recently, and I think that draft they're gonna have to go big on the draft, big on the free agency. They're gonna have to get Trubisky some wideouts and some players to like. He has nobody. In my opinion, I just don't see – that's why it's not really Nagy himself. It's the fact that I just don't feel like they draft that well. Of course, we know they've had some highly questionable drafts. Trubisky ended up – we don't know yet about Trubisky, but I think they need to draft a wideout. I think they need to draft two wideouts. Maybe not draft them, but they need to pick up two wideouts somehow to give – Trubisky somebody to throw to, or it's going to be a failure.
All right, moving on to these playoff games. Let's start with your team, the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. And kind of the way we're going to go through this is one at a time. We're going to start with
this was
the
tough,
best position groups. I'll ask you, who do you think the best position group is in this game?
Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu. I think both of them are and I'm going to take this a different route. They're both, in my opinion, top 25. Oh, we know Julio Jones is the best wide receiver in the NFL, if it's not Antonio Brown. That right there pretty much solidifies it. But then you add on Mohamed Sanu, which is a big target for Matt Ryan. Taylor Gabriel's still good, in my opinion. He's more of a system guy. I don't think he's going to do as well in Steve Sarkisian's system as he did in Kyle Shanahan's. But I think he'll eventually get going. It may be next season. That's why I would say that's clearly the best. I mean, in my opinion, that's the best position group.
I'm going to go also on the Falcons, but I'm going to flip it. I think the Falcons' defensive backs are the best position groups in this entire game. Robert Alford had 3 passes defensed last week. Trumaine Johnson played fantastically. Brian Poole has played great. And I think the defensive backs don't get enough credit. I think we focus a lot on the linebackers like Deion Jones and Keanu Neal and Grady Jarrett, but you don't focus as much on their defensive backs. I think they have the best set of defensive backs, maybe other than the Jaguars, in this playoffs overall, I think. So
that was my second choice.
The Atlanta Falcons
defensive
backs are the best position.
It could very well be number one. I thought about that, but I was like, I just can't do it. There's too much talent at that wide receiver position. But for me, an X factor in this game is, for me, it's Deion Jones. I almost went Matt Ryan, but I didn't really want to go quarterback. I just don't think quarterbacks mean it's hard for me to do quarterbacks for every X factor, so I didn't. I'm going Deion Jones and the Falcons defense, which you could go general Falcons defense, but I'm going Deion Jones in particular. They need to step up like they did last week against the Rams, which I think they can against Nick Foles, which I don't think is as good as Jared Goff. Jared Goff. I don't think Jared Goff is as good as Nick Foles. I don't think Nick Foles is as good as Jared Goff. Right. Oh, that would have been so wrong. That's why I'm going to pick the Falcons in this game. I think I had it 24-17 on the pick'em, and I think I'm going to stick to that. One more thing is, we've heard about Matt Ryan missing practice yesterday. I don't think that means very much. I really don't. I just think the Falcons defense will be too good in this game. I'm going 24-17 Falcons.
I think that the X factor in this game for me is, and I know you didn't want to go quarterback, but I'm going to go Nick Foles, because he will either play really well and the Eagles will win this game, because I believe that the Eagles have a good enough defense and that I don't trust Steve Sarkisian enough yet to make the offense amazing. Now, credit to them, we have our standards very high from the Kyle Shanahan offense. The Sarkisian offense, for probably the second half of the season, has been a very good, I'd say, top 15 NFL offense. But I just think that if Nick Foles plays really well, the Eagles will win this game. But there's the flip side of that, which is if he plays really badly, the Eagles are going to get blown out, because I think their defense is great, but I don't think they can hold the Falcons if Foles turns the ball over 3-plus times or even 2-plus times, you know? So I'm going to go Foles just because that's a definition of an X factor. It can flip the game either way, and I think Foles is definitely that guy. Yeah. I am going to go Falcons here as well. I just think that, A, I don't trust Nick Foles. And B, I think that the Eagles, yes, they have a great offensive line. Yes, they have a great running game, but the Falcons have great linebackers and fast linebackers, and they have great corners. And I just think that defense is good enough to get them a win, even if the Falcons' offense game, struggles. I have this being a close, kind of lower-scoring game. Falcons 20, Eagles 13. A
starting quarterback that has been starting all season. They had the best offense in the league, and they – basically, they held them under 15 points. That's pretty darn good. I just don't see how the Eagles are going to do very much against this Falcons defense. If we see the Falcons defense that we saw last week, I don't think the Eagles have a chance, to be honest, because Nick Foles is not Jared Goff, in my opinion. And I think you would pretty much agree, right? Okay. Yeah, that was my other thought. Yeah, that was my final thought in that game.
Yeah. Moving on. Awesome. Moving on, Patriots, Titans, and I'm going to start us off here. The best position group in this game is the Patriots tight end, Rob Gronkowski. I could have gone Tom Brady. I didn't want to do that. But I know that everyone's giving Tennessee zero chance to win. That first of all, before I murder them, I just want to say,
what?
If Tennessee wins, I'd be shocked, but I wouldn't be surprised, if that makes sense. Because we counted all these underdogs out last week, and some of them won. I would be surprised if these... if the Titans won, and I don't expect them to win, but there's not a 0% chance.
I think I'm going to go the same route. Like there's not too much chance. I mean, we already know the Titans.
I didn't know.
I thought the what? Go ahead.
Oh, right. Sorry. Right. I was going to explain why I picked tight end. Yeah. So people who I have seen a few people who give the Titans some hope, but here's why you shouldn't. Because literally the one position that the Chiefs had them beat at all week, the first half of that game, was Travis Kelce. And he was destroying their linebackers, and he was the difference in that game, and once he went out, the offense stalled. Rob Gronkowski's 10 times better than Travis Kelce. Like, I expect Gronk to have, like, over 200 yards in this game, to be honest with you. I think he's going to be heavily used.
You ready for me?
And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they even benched him, like, late in the second half, just because it might be so much of a block. But that's why I'm going tight end.
For me, I think it's pretty much the same. We have the same thing. Nobody's
– yeah.
This is no disagreement here. It's the tight end position or the quarterback position. I went tight end first because I didn't want to go quarterback. That's the only reason. And I think Rob Gronkowski is the best tight end in the league. There's no question there. To even think about Tennessee having one of the best positions in this game would be funny, quite funny to me. Did you want to go ahead and make your pick? Oh, okay. For me, the X factor's Tom Brady. If Tom Brady struggles in this game,
and then make your pick, and then I'll go.
The Titans might have a chance to keep it close. And we've seen him struggle here and there. It doesn't happen often in the playoffs, but he's going to be what makes this game close or blowout. If he plays great, 2-3 touchdowns by halftime, it's going to be over quickly. If not, then if he has struggles, has an interception and a touchdown, it may be close. But, yeah, I think that's clearly the – for me, that's the X factor.
– For me, the... Oh, boy. I froze up there for a second. For me, the X factor in this game is Derrick Henry. Just because the Patriots, if there's one weakness, it's their defense. Just in general. I don't think Marcus Mariota can beat him. Just because it's Foxborough and he's a young quarterback. And I think Bill Belichick schemes against quarterbacks really well. But all year, teams have been able to run the ball down New England's throats. We saw what Derrick Henry did to the Chiefs. The Patriots offense, I hate to break it to you, Chris, are not much better than the Chiefs. I think that Derrick Henry is going to keep this game relatively close. Because when I tell you the score, it's going to be kind of a blah. But I believe the Patriots perform well. They do everything that they do. But Derrick Henry has a big day, scores at least two touchdowns. I'm taking the Patriots 41, Titans 23.
Back at bare minimum. I see this being a complete blowout, 38-16. Tom Brady's going to play well, three touchdowns. I just don't see – I can't even think about making this a close game. I think this is the blowout of the weekend.
Yep. Moving on, the Jaguars.
Oh, for me, it's clearly the
wide Steelers. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about
so this
who
is,
the best
so I went running back
in this
and
game.
Wide receiver because I it's kind of – for me, it's kind of hard to – between the two because we know Le'Veon Bell's top two running back in the league this season. I mean, I know that. We know that. I think that's pretty clear. And, of course, Antonio Brown, the same thing. He's one or two at the wide receiver position. That's why I picked both because it's kind of – for me, it's a little bit of both. But if I were – I'm going to go ahead and go X factor. For me, it's Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers' offensive line. If Le'Veon Bell has a big day, which I don't think he will because that Jaguars defense is spectacular, especially what we saw last week. Oh, my goodness. That was impressive. That was really impressive to see. Even though it's against the Bills' offense is terrible. I still liked what I saw. I think if Le'Veon Bell can have a 100-yard day, this game will be a blowout because Big Ben's going to throw, I think he's going to throw 200 or 300 yards, two touchdowns against this defense. He's looking for revenge.
I think it's incredibly disrespectful how much disrespect
that
you
was three.
Clear. Number one position group in this game, the Jaguars cornerbacks. A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey had great, great games against the Bills. And I know that I think you're right. I think the Steelers do win this game. I have the Steelers winning 30-10, but it would not shock me at all if this was a much lower scoring game.
It's
going to
be 2-something.
Is going to throw for 300 yards. Because I think I think that's still crazy. Because the best part of this Jaguars defense is their defensive backs and their safeties. If they have a weakness, it's at linebacker. And Miles Jack is still a hell of a linebacker. So I think you're right. I think Le'Veon Bell's going to have a big day. Because I think the Steelers offensive line can kind of push... I'm erring on the side of picking the Steelers here. I would not be shocked if this is a much lower scoring game, if the Steelers barely win, like 17-10, something crazy. But the X factor in this game is the quarterback again, Blake Bortles. I just can't trust Blake Bortles. If he plays fantastic, then I think the Jaguars win this game. But if he doesn't, which he hasn't, he's... gonna lose this game. So I'm taking the Steelers. I said 30-10 on the pick'em, but after what you said and after doing the research, I realize it's crazy to think the Steelers can put up 30 on them. I think they're gonna punch them in the mouth early. I think they're going to get the Jaguars down.
Yeah, for
me,
I had the
Jaguars cornerbacks. They're going to make them play from behind where they're uncomfortable playing.
Second position, by the way.
And I think they win this game
23-10. To pick between the wide receiver and the cornerback between the two teams. But I have the Steelers winning 30-15. I kind of went up on the Jaguars score. I had it 30-9, but I think it'll be a closer game than some of us are expecting. I don't think this will be a blowout at all. But for me, the difference maker, like I said, is Le'Veon Bell. If he has 100 plus yards, which I think he has a chance, but I think the game will be over early. Even though the score might not look like it. But like I said, I have the Steelers winning 30-15.
All right, moving on to our next game and the final game and the best game of the weekend, the Vikings and the Saints. Okay, I'll go first for this one. I think the best position group in this game is the Saints wide receivers. I think they have been one of the most underlooked, underrated position groups all year. Last week, Michael Thomas had a great game, 131 yards, no touchdowns. Ted Ginn had 115 yards. Brandon Coleman had 44 yards, and Josh Hill had 49 yards still as well. And in the regular season, they were also an insanely talented wide receiving group. Michael Thomas had 1,245 yards, 5 touchdowns. Ted Ginn had 787 yards and 4 touchdowns. Brandon Coleman had 364 yards and 3 touchdowns. They aren't a bad receiving core. They were just overshadowed by how much they depended on the run.
This is very close for me.
That the Saints,
I like a lot
wide
of the
receivers are the best
game.
Position
really,
group in this
yeah.
game.
What? I almost went Vikings defense, but I'm going
by the way,
quarterback
by the way,
for the Saints.
I almost went
Vikings
wide
receivers
as the best
out of any player on the field. I just know he's going to have a good. I know he's going to have a good game, and that's why I say it's the best. But there's so many. Like I said, you could argue Saints wide receivers, Vikings linebackers, Vikings cornerbacks. Like there's so many great positions in this game. I think this game's the most. Yeah, Saints quarterbacks. There's so many, and that's why this game's gonna be so exciting to watch. There's so many matchups.
Saints cornerbacks
that are gonna keep it close for both teams. There's gonna be so many. You got Saints quarterbacks, Michael Thomas against the Vikings cornerbacks. Like I said, it's just gonna be so exciting. For me, I'm gonna go X factor. For me, the X factor for me is Drew Brees as well. For me, it's Drew Brees as the X factor because it's gonna come down to what he does, how he passes against that defense. Because I don't think the run game's gonna get shut down. Alvin Kamara's not gonna have the days that he's had, and we saw that in Week One. I think this is kind of the Week One game was kind of a preview of this game because I still this. It's the closest between these two teams than we've seen any other team play each other. We say, oh, that matchup's so much different. The teams are so much better. For me, they're not really that much. These teams were playing almost the same, not the same way, but closest to the same way as any other team in the league. But for me, I'm going to go ahead and go my pick as well. For me, I have the Vikings winning a relatively not really high scoring, but medium scoring game. I'm going 20-17 Vikings. And I have no idea what I picked in the PSF pick'em, so.
All right. The X factor for me is the Minnesota Vikings wide receivers, because I think if they have a great day and go off, they can easily win this game. I mean, But I'm actually going to go X-Factor. I just thought of it now. Latavius Murray, he hasn't been getting enough love all year. He rushed for almost 900 yards this year and 5 touchdowns, which is one of the highest touchdown rates for a running back in the league. So I'm going to go with the Vikings as well. I think this game is low scoring and tight early. I think the defenses get tired down the stretch. I think that Alvin Kamara and Melvin Ingram are both shut down. Not Melvin Ingram, right? Mark Ingram are both to shut down.
It'll be a super close game.
Are both shut this down in the running game. And I think Minnesota wins 33-29. Yeah, this game is truly the hardest to pick. I might say the other one might be Jaguars-Steelers if you think about it, but then you kind of remember that Blake Bortles is playing in that game, and it's harder to pick the Jaguars. But I think that the most likely, quote-unquote, upsets to happen this weekend, and I'm not considering the Falcons. And well, let's actually talk about that really quick. I think kind of a team people are sleeping on might be the Eagles a little bit. I know that Nick Foles is scary and you don't know what to expect, but it just feels like if you gloss over them and Nick Foles comes out and doesn't turn the ball over and scores maybe like 2 touchdowns max, that defense is so good. I don't trust Steve Sarkisian against that defense. I could definitely see the Eagles winning that game. I think that that's probably the most likely upset at this point. I'd say the Philadelphia Eagles are the underdog in that game right now. I think that Vikings-Saints is a push just because the teams are so similar.
Yeah, for me, I would agree with pretty much.
And I do really think that the Jaguars, if things broke right for Blake Bortles, could beat the Steelers.
I did not like what I saw last week in that first half. That was absolutely awful. Terrible. Just... that was ugly.
I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback throw a bad scream. But he managed.
I would agree with you that Eagles Falcons would probably be the place for an upset. The number 6 seed hasn't been favored against the number 1 seed in so long. This is historic that the Falcons are favored in Philadelphia. According to what I've heard, I can't confirm the last 1 seed to be a underdog. That's crazy. But I think if things go right for them, I think they could win. I think they have a chance with their defense. I still don't like Nick Foles there, or as far as quarterback. And then I don't think if they went to the NFC Championship, I don't think they would stand a chance against either the Saints or the Vikings. Just because of the question mark in Nick Foles. Too much. I just can't answer that right now. I really can't, because we haven't seen him in the playoffs at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I think that's it. The entire kind of scope of what we got to talk about this week.
Well, one more question.
Covered. So I'm just going to really quickly kind of give the schedule from
here. Are you still feeling good about
your
playoff
to
predictions?
The Super Bowl.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
After what we saw last week. Just the general what's going to happen. do you see the two teams you have in the Super Bowl? You still feel good about that? Okay. That's why I was.